all the time. We had the CEO of one of the largest telemedicine companies in the globe. And I said, look, we're going to do this and this is how it's going to go down. And they're like, well, we're going to talk about the business. I'm like, look, no one gives a shit about your business. They don't. And this is the number one, again, the number one telehealth. And she's like, excuse me? I said, I didn't stutter. And they want to know about you. So
yeah,
my goal is to lower me, raise you up, make them fall in love. And then once they fall in love with you, we're going to talk about your company. And we're going to talk about and we're going to give little traces like in between. And she goes, oh my God, you're so right. I said, cool, let's do it. Let's go. And we did. Cool. And that's how we went about it.
Hi, I'm Chris Ippolito, and welcome to Get Coach 360, where I'm documenting my journey from employee to entrepreneur while featuring the coaches that are helping me along the way. Each episode, these coaches provide actionable advice to help me and you, the audience, find more success as entrepreneurs. I invite you to join the journey so we can go and grow together.
Welcome to another episode of Get Coach 360. In this episode, Chris sits down with Scott Burgess, founder of Healthcare 360 Media Group and host of the critically acclaimed Healthcare 360 podcast. If you're a podcaster or thinking about getting into podcasting, this episode is definitely for you. Scott breaks down how in just over a month he went from launch to global healthcare sensation, being hailed as the Joe Rogan of healthcare. Scott walks you through the gear list, what to focus on and what not to when on a budget, and also gives you a sneak peek into his mind and talks about just how far hard work and attention to detail can get you in only a short amount of time. And, as always, we'll close with Scott sharing his advice for how you can take action now to level up wherever you need it most.
Hey, Scott.
Chris, good evening.
How's it going? Hey, well, welcome to the Get Coach podcast. I said it before we started recording. I am stoked for this episode. But before we get into it, I'd love if you could share with the audience your story and where can people find you?
First off, thank you. Really appreciate it. When I looked you up and we were going back and forth, I was like, this guy's got it going on. Real clean, attention to detail. So I appreciate that. I really do. There is a lot of folks who just kind of go and wing it, and that's fine. And it's in its own way. But at the same time, you want to go with someone who's organized. So I appreciate you, man, for doing that. Everyone can find me at Healthcare 360 Podcast. That's where I run my podcast. And we are going to, right now on the backside, I'm not promoting it too much, but since we're here, by the time most people listen to this, you can actually find me at scotteburgess.com. We're building the personal brand website at the same time. And really excited for that one because we're moving away from Wix, which is great. Yeah. All the Wix lovers out there. But I need something a little bit more robust.
What are you going to? Advanced.
We're going to go to WordPress.
WordPress, yeah. Like, yeah, it's there's a reason why like over half, if not 60% of the internet's built on WordPress.
Yeah, it's a little bit more complex on the algorithm and the design of that. So I'm going to get taught and coached and how to do that. Someone's going to build it with me as we go through it. But not that I want control of it, because I'm not a control freak like that. I'm like, hey, go, here's what I'm looking for, go. But at the same time, that's what we're looking to do and how we're looking to do that, just because of merchandising and things, you know, more advanced systems that need to be running on the backbone of the servers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's where they can find me for sure.
Cool. So how did you get there? Let's hear the story.
All right. So my day job and... I want to categorize this the right way. So I'm a hospital consultant in the day. So right now I'm actually transitioning out of the consulting world, and I design and work alongside architects and engineers and planners and physicians. I design and build operating rooms, intensive care units, emergency bays, any clinical or patient environment within a hospital or any kind of a medical facility. I'm the person that goes in there. Now I know you live up in Canada. I'm not bragging about the weather, but
hey, it's a nice day for us today.
It is. What would you get? What was the weather?
16 degrees Celsius. So what is that for Fahrenheit? 80-ish, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are really moving it. We're starting to move away from that. And the reason why is I've been doing this 16 and I all the numbers that I've used in my own personal podcast anywhere between 15 and 18 years. I don't even know anymore. All I know, it's a lot, but down here in South Florida, I'm the go-to guy. Most people say, just call Scott. He'll take care of it. He knows what we need and let him run the show. Great. That's all well and good. The problem with the industry is this. Healthcare at large it's a mess. It's kind of like a shit show a little bit, or a crapshoot. They have what they call like the circle of five. So every time the project, they'll have five contractors or five architects or five planners that they put in a cycle. So for example, if you're building an OR versus an ICU versus a trauma bay, you don't have the same team every time. So it causes for a lot of confusion, a lot of change orders, and a lot of mistakes. And I keep just like shaking my head. I'm like, get your act together, folks. Stop doing that stuff. And you spend what an OAC meeting is, an owner, architect, contractor based meeting. So an OAC meeting, once a project kicks off, it's just countless hours after hours. I love what I do. I tell everyone the same story or the same line as I help sick people help. Help good people help sick people get better. I tell my daughters that all the time when they ask me what I do. But I've identified some gaps. I've identified some areas of concern that can be really improved upon in healthcare. And I'm starting the media company and I'm attacking that angle of it. So here's how the whole podcast thing happened. This is it in a nutshell. I was with a friend of mine. We developed a technology where we've eradicated surgical site infection. And we made that whole process that I just complained about down to a one-stop shop. And I was like, you know something? We need to go out and educate people. So, well, what do we do? And I was like, let's start a podcast. And I know almost every architect down here in this part of the state, the contractors, et cetera, and they have unbelievable stories. It's unbelievable stories. It's amazing what they can tell you. So, this is actually a really funny part of the story. This is really cool. So I actually have this guy right here. I know that everyone can't see us, but I have an Android phone right there, which is like bread and butter. And then I got the iPhone. So the problem with Android is that you don't have iMessage. And iMessage is built on a server-based RCS technology, okay? So when you see the little dots bubbling, that means it's running through just all servers, not just networks, okay? So if I was trying to get in touch with a physician, I had a better chance of seeing Christ on a cross, in live, in person, and having a conversation with him. It just would not happen with my Android phone. So I had a switch. So we started the podcast in July, and we fast forward now to November when we actually go in and we actually launch the first five episodes. About 3 weeks after that launch of the first five episodes, my new iPhone was going batshit crazy. It was ping, 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 ping. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this thing? And I didn't pay attention to it. It just kept going. So at the time, now we're only, I mean, Chris, we're like 5 or 6 weeks into this thing, right? And we had just been notified that we were selected, nominated, and voted as one of the best medical podcasts that's out there. And I was like, so a lot of people who know me, I'm like, I pat myself really quickly in the back and I just keep going forward. I'm like, great, that's awesome. I'm like, wow. I'm like, how the hell did that happen? Like, what did we do to deserve that? It was really cool. Really loved it. It was a huge compliment. And we just kept going with it and kept running with it. The difference was, and actually the other really cool thing was, we've actually been called the Joe Rogan for healthcare, which was really cool. I thought that was a really, really, I actually took that a little bit more complimentary than I did when someone had voted us, you know, top 15 medical podcast, which was great. Yeah. So it was nice to hear, and it was nice to see. So when we started and we launched it, that whole thing happened and went down, and then we just kept going for it. And by meaning going for it, making sure we're delivering good content, great audio, and conversations that are so atypical, but happen every day. Mm-hmm. And the questions, like, it's kind of like the, I'm trying to think of a good example. Here's one. So you take erectile dysfunction, for example, right? A lot of guys or women are afraid to ask about that because they're ashamed, right?
Yeah.
So we took that whole piece and we're like, we just put it out there. And so we're going to talk about all the atypical stuff, because a lot of people are out there when about their personal health care, and they're afraid to talk about it, and they're afraid to bring things up. And we're like, screw that. Let's bring it out into the forefront. Let's actually shine a big glowing light on it to make sure that we can get out there and get the information that people need. And that's the impact that we're having. And that's part of the reasons why people are really gravitating towards the cast, which is good, you know, or what I call 360 for short.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's, is there really anything else out there that kind of does what you guys do as far as the topics covered, and, or is that maybe a big part of the reason why the success so quick out of the gates is that there was this kind of giant gap in the market for what people were looking for. And then you guys just kind of happened to fall right into that gap.
So what I did was, before I started the whole, actually, well, I shouldn't say it that way. When we first started the podcast, I looked into how to podcast. So of course you look at the Pat Flynn's of the world and Solopreneur and all those guys that were on there. And I just sat there and watched. I just watched countless YouTube videos, took notes, took tips and recommendations just to kind of muster the confidence to go out there and do that. Because like most people, when you start a podcast, you're like, what am I really going to talk about? And I heard the most brilliant phrase and statement is, you have 20 years, 30 years, 5 years even, doesn't really matter what the years, but you have all that experience. If you think about the seconds, minutes, and hours of your life that you put toward something that you're passionate about, and now you're trying to tell me that you have nothing to say or you don't know what you're going to say, far from it, far right. from it. And I tell people that all the time when I ask them to come on the show, or I'm like, hey, what would you consider about this discussion? And what am I going to say? And I'm like, well, what about this perspective of it? And I give it to them and they go, you know something? We're on. Let's do it. Giving them a shot or having a beer here and there is great. So when you actually, if you go back to one of my podcasts and you listen to the one with Christina Gallo and Amanda Dalton, Amanda was actually Darren Dalton's wife. He was the catcher for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
The relationship there was, they both had husbands that died of terminal brain cancer. But we had a glass of wine each. We had a ball. We were laughing our asses off. It was amazing. It was such a good show.
That's awesome. That's maybe why the connection to Joe Rogan, as he likes to have, what does he usually drink? Beer? I think he does scotch as well.
He does
well.
Scotch, yeah. He definitely does scotch. That or blunt. So we don't do the blunt. Yeah.
that episode with Elon Musk was so good. And the reaction to it was even better. I thought it was hilarious how people lost their mind over that.
Yeah, for sure.
I actually saw the online reaction to it first and then went back and watched the video, just that one clip. I wanted to see like what is everybody like, what's the big deal? And the puff that he took was just so,
it was nothing,
minimal. He like puffed and blew it out like right away.
I think he pulled a Bill Clinton. I think he just kind of like put it in his mouth in his cavity of his open mouth, but didn't inhale it and blew it out and was like, oh yeah, this was great.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by Elon Musk. The guy's a complete nutcase. I mean, love the guy, but he is so far out there. And I actually saw round 2.0 when he was on Rogan again last week. And
oh, I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, it was good, man. But I mean, it is, when they talk about Neuralink and all that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, like, there is a plan for humans moving forward in the digital age. Within the first 10 minutes, you will capture what the intent, not the plans, because the plans are concrete, but what the intent is with deep neural stimulation in the brain. It's fascinating, but at the same time, it's some scary shit. Really scary shit.
I've fallen off the podcast wagon a little bit in a sense, because I've been, my audio consumption has been audiobooks as of late, just to I find it a little bit easier to listen to audiobooks while I'm like feeding my son and doing all that kind of stuff.
Because
I want to read, I have this massive list of books that I want to get through. Not always like the best goal to like just get through them, but I definitely listen and try and consume as much as possible. But so the podcast blows up quickly for you, which is amazing.
There were some strategies there too.
I was going to ask, what were some of the strategies? So one of the things you mentioned that I had heard before, the number was 3 when I did my research, but did you have those 5 episodes like ready to go, already recorded? Did you release them all at once, or did you still do a weekly schedule? Like, did you stagger them out?
Yeah. So when we hit our first launch date, which was, I believe it was like November 4th or 5th of 2019, we released all 5 at once. Yeah. And I did follow a Rogan-esque type of a format on my release. So it's HC360 number sign 001, 00, right? So we can go all the way up. So when we start hitting the 1,000 marks and et cetera, you know, the numbers will be in line. So if someone says, hey, go to, or when you do your website, you can easily put a slash tag at the end of that URL to get to where you need to get.
Great.
So yeah, it was specific. And then one of the other strategies I did that was really, really good was, and it really helped a lot, was I looked at the social platforms. Who is big? Who has a lot of engagement? Not of just who has a lot of followers, because followers doesn't equal anything unless it has engagement.
Very true.
Who has the engagement? So I found people that I knew that had very high engagement, where when they did their self promo and their cross promo of the whole thing, I knew it was going to get a lot of engagement, and they're going to go, ooh, let me go see what that person did over there. Now, remember off the top of my head, now if I'm guessing a little bit, because I haven't gone back in quite a bit, but we had a medical marketing, we had an architectural firm. We had a contractor, we had Amanda and Christine, we had general public, and we kind of covered every sector of the release because we wanted to make it diverse. And that's the other thing that we were complimented on really well is, at the same time, was that we have a really, really good diverse community and diverse topic point. And it's not just gloom and doom healthcare. I just this past week released Dr. Kenneth Bach. He's the foremost leader in integrative and functional medicine globally. And actually, part of that podcast, when I was asking him, I said, so how many people have you seen around the world? How many people around the world have, from different countries, have come seeing you? And he goes, 3-second pause there. I think everyone from every country has come to see me, Scott. And I was blown away. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's amazing. But he's a best-selling author. He has another follow-up book, and he was talking about the 4 A's, the new childhood epidemics, which are ADHD, asthma, allergies, and autism. Mm-hmm. And he went through the full spectrum of what causes it, what doesn't cause it, and how do you reverse it. And I said that right. How do you reverse it? And that's the type of stuff. So when I put out my post, I was like, this is for all parents who have a child with boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Boom. And that, I mean, I want to say we've trended or gone viral for the last 10 weeks straight, which has been good. Because we just have topics that a lot of people just aren't thinking about. And that's something, I think about that a lot. I'm like, what do people want to hear? Why do they want to hear? What problems are they faced with? And what solutions do they need long-term? And when you translate that into what I do in my everyday job right now, presently, and I still have to get to the point of what my 3-year plan is, but I go in there and I'm asked to solve problems and to give engagement on what are the trends, what's moving forward, what, and the reasons why. And that's what I do for the most part.
That makes sense. I mean, you went and found it. So it sounds like you found people that when they were going to cross promote had an already existing audience, mm-hmm. and not just an audience, but like an engaged audience.
Yeah. That was a big one.
How did you know they were going to cross promote?
I am not a shy guy at all. I actually, this is my calm time of my day at nighttime. So I'm pretty settled in, but this is what I call the war room. And I believe everyone knows what a war room is. So in here, this is where I go batshit crazy. And I'll work and I'll do my thing and I'll write down plan. And I can run 10 different things at once. And I can legitimately run 10 things at once and do it well. So I'm like, okay, when I get an interaction like that, when my daughter just jumped back in, I literally, in my head, I have to shut everything down for a moment, pause, state my point, wait, hold, and then do it again. And it's taken a minute to learn all that, because before I'm like, oh, blah, 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 no, I'm like, get out, you know, and you can't do that because you don't mean to do it that way. People aren't up here in your head, and your head may be going in 10 different formats, but you have to be able to control that, engage it, and know how to turn it down and then turn it back up. Not turn it off, but I know how to turn it down and then turn it back right. up. And that's why I think I can do fairly well and fairly good. One of the things, my daughter, she always does this. She always kind of does like the level of down dad, my oldest girl. And I tell her, I said, you know something? Mentally, I'm there. Mentally, I'm toning it down. But physically, because I'm built like a ship brick house. I'm 6'4". I'm 220 pounds. And I don't really have a lot of body fat on me. So when people see me, I look kind of intimidating. But yeah. The truth is, I'm a really open, heart-sensitive type of a person where I'm very empathetic towards people. And I'm like, but my physique says otherwise. And I'm like, eh. So I try to shy away from that. So I do much better on camera sometimes than I do in live person, for sure.
Yeah.
But and I forget that. So what the hell did you ask me? I want to make sure.
I was asking, how do you know that they were going to cross promote?
Oh, yeah. So I was saying, being bold, I asked him, I said, are you okay with cross promoting? And again, when I did my research, I saw a lot of people, it's different. And I promise we won't forget the point on this one, but they went back and they go, hey, you should make sure, because there are some states that the next of kin can actually request that their voice be removed from publication. So so if you go to New York State, for example, and let's say you live in New York State and you and I did a podcast for my podcast, Healthcare 360.
Yeah.
Okay. And something happened to you, what caused you to pass away, God forbid, but let's say something like that happened. And your wife says, you know, Scott, we really don't want Chris's voice on anymore. We want him to rest in peace. But thank you. She has that right. And there are the few states that have that. So what I did was we put together a form of saying, hey, we control the information and the content there. And I always tell everybody, and this is what makes everyone feel real comfortable, I say, you have the first right of refusal. So if you say something you weren't supposed to, if you say something that you think sounds foolish when you listen to the review, we'll edit it out. That's only happened once in all my episodes. But we give everyone that assurance because we are going to be making this public. And the last thing I want to do is embarrass anybody. They just gave us their time and their energy. And it is reciprocated because we're also talking about their business and different things that they want other people to know about themselves. So it is a bi-directional agreement. But I do have them sign an agreement that says, look, we control that content. You're gonna sacrifice that content to us, but we do give you first right of refusal. And they're okay with this. So when I go back to this point again, which is probably the longest answer to a short question, right, is on that forum, I go, do you agree to help and assist with cross-promotional social media? And they're like, yeah, they do that without a problem. And because you have to remember, too, just because someone has a large audience or an engaged audience doesn't mean they want to, like, keep it there. They want to keep growing it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's hard to create content all the time and good content. So if they get some good content on themselves and they want to, and they can use it to promote themselves to like all day and twice on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I've been struggling with that because maybe it's just the way I'm approaching it. I've not had a ton of success with having people cross promote. A lot of it probably has to do with me just not being bold in a sense, like you said, and just saying, hey, like this is beneficial to both of us. Right.
Yeah, and, yeah, for sure.
I feel like I've gotten a little bit better with it as of late with the recordings, but a lot of those episodes are not releasing till like the last half of the year.
So right, right.
Like, whatever. A lot of this journey for me for year one, cause this is season one for me is it was like get started and learn as you go kind of thing. And I've learned a ton, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. And probably spent a lot of money too, right?
not too bad. I've been really trying to do it as like lean as possible, which is honestly, that's a big part of why I was so excited for this episode is that, you know, you've started a podcast, you had great success out of the gates. Mine not so much, but we've also gone very different routes as far as like the type of guests that we have and the audience. But in our last conversation, it also sounded like as far as like the equipment, we're kind of on opposite sides as well. Like I went very shoestring budget. And just even before we started recording here, you were sharing kind of like all the like recent upgrades that you've done and or are planning. And so I'd love to like, let's like bounce ideas off in this.
Yeah, man. Let's do that. When we talk technology, I lighten up.
Yeah, because I think my goal with this particular episode was that anybody who's been listening for as long as they have, because by this point it's like episode 44, I think it is, maybe 45.
Nice.
But if they've been following the whole journey, they've seen a significant evolution, and maybe they're going like, hey, I think I want to start a podcast. I want to help them kind of like navigate through that. I know there's a lot of resources, John Lee Dumas, Pat Flynn, like there's a lot of people out there that teach that, Zachary Babcock, like there's so many people, but I want them to kind of get a taste of it in this episode. So
yeah,
let's start with microphones. What are you using for a microphone?
So Pat Flynn's right. So I'm using, and I'll tell you my hack. I am a big hacker. I figured out stuff and I'm like, interesting. So Pat Flynn was right. All you need to buy is a mid-grade microphone through USB, connected to your computer and go. And then quote unquote, use Audacity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. And he's absolutely correct. Okay. But the problem is, and I know you know this, is you fell in love with it really quick and you got really smart and knowledgeable. And it was just one of these things that it was like more. Okay. And for me, podcasting is a little bit of a drug. I wouldn't say a drug, but to give you the sense of it's very addicting to me because I am a knowledge junkie. I love learning and I just love talking to people, which is why I don't believe podcasts that are 20 minutes or less for the most part. I don't think they're as effective as they could be. Some are, but I don't think they're as effective as they could be. I love deep diving and getting into it because what I do when we sit down with people, and I tell people this all the time, we have the CEO of one of the largest telemedicine companies in the globe. And I said, look, we're going to do this and this is how it's going to go down. And they're like, well, we're going to talk about the business. I'm like, look, no one gives a shit about your business. They don't. And this is the number one, again, the number one telehealth. And she's like, excuse me. I said, I didn't stutter. And they want to know about you. So
yeah,
my goal is to lower me, raise you up, make them fall in love. And then once they fall in love with you, we're going to talk about your company. And we're going to talk about and we're going to give little traces like in between. And she goes, oh my God, you're so right. I said, cool, let's do it. Let's go. And we did. Cool. And that's how we went about it. So the microphone part is I'm still using the mid-grade, I'm about to upgrade, but the Audio-Technica 2100, which is the go-to for everybody, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the hack, okay? The Audio-Technica is a great sounding condenser microphone. So it accepts sounds from the node or the sphere on top from all directions. So you can't control it. So if I went across the room, you can still hear me, but it's not going to be as clear, and it's going to sound a little muffly, but you can still hear the sound. But what I did was I went out and I bought, I'm looking at the name, a Yamaha MG mixer board. It is the jam. It makes this microphone sound like a $400 microphone. I can control everything. So I really can dial it in, and I can dial my guests in. So if my guest, for example, has like a sore throat and they're sick and they're not feeling well, but they want to give, you know, 15, 20 minutes, I'm like, I just tweak it up and it makes them sound normal. And it's amazing. So I am not a fan of the recommendation of what they say. And I'll tell you what my go-to is, and I'll tell you the reason why too, of the cheapo systems that are out there. And the reason why is because if most people who get into podcasting keep going with it. The problem why most podcasts don't do well long-term is they don't know how to monetize them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't love podcasting. So if you get if you have a mid-grade computer, you have a mid-grade microphone. Okay. Audacity is great, but Audacity, I can tell you right now, I use Adobe Creative Cloud and we use Audition, and all the programs I taught myself, taught everything myself. I just watched countless YouTube videos. And then if I needed something specific that I didn't know how to figure out, I went and I watched a short clip on it. That was it. Mm-hmm. But you need an i7 desktop or a laptop minimum. So a desktop, you can probably get one. When I say cheaper, somewhere between $600 to $800, if it's a desktop. On a laptop range, you're probably looking somewhere between $1,500 to $2,200, just for the computing power to be able to hold that, because you need an i7. And I also use Creative Cloud from Adobe for Premiere Pro when I put my promo videos together. So that's the first thing. So the microphone, I don't really care that much about. Now, I am going to upgrade to an SH or a Shure or a Rode microphone, which are like the $400 microphones, the dynamic ones.
That's on the bucket list eventually.
That's on the bucket list to get those. And you see what we did back here. So the other thing, actually, let me go back to something in the beginning. This is a really good friend of mine. He was on the show. His name is Vinny Resnick. Brilliant guy. His story is flipping amazing. It is that good. But we sat down and I said, hey man, I'm gonna start this business. This is what we've done. He's okay. I said, I'm also gonna start a podcast. So what are your recommendations? So I just sat down and just looked for some consult for some friends, and what would you do? He goes, branding is everything. He says, get your logo, marry it, and move forward. He's like, but get your logo before you do anything, because if you go out there and you brand yourself as one thing and it's a little chintzy, then you're going to, he goes, it's that important. And I couldn't agree more. So I went out to 99designs.com.
Yep.
Okay. And there's Fiverr's and Upwork and everything else. So it's the equivalent. Okay. And I spent $300 on a logo, and I am a competitor. Okay. I love to compete. Everything about me is competition. So I go, I'm not paying like this master grade five star, $800. They go, bullshit. I'm paying $300 and you're going to go compete for my business. So I had 14 people on there, and I'm telling you, the designs were amazing. Amazing. Okay. And I narrowed it down to three people. And the reason why I narrowed it down to three people, because they were interacting with me and they were giving me dialogue back and forth. And they were saying, hey, what about this? What about that? And I come, and I do some markups, and then I narrowed it down to two, and I narrowed it down to the final guy. And I have, that's where you can see Healthcare 360 behind me. He did an amazing job. And I still use him today on everything that I do. So he does all my graphic work. If I need, hey, I need this done instead, I need that moved over there, he does all of it, because he does it in high resolution 4K. But the branding of it is so critical, because I don't know how many times I go to a lot of LinkedIn local events down here in South Florida, obviously pre-COVID. We do Zoom calls, don't count for, you know, meeting when stuff like that. But they come back and like, oh my gosh, like your Healthcare 360. I'm like, yeah. And we'll talk about it. Like, your logo is legit. People love it. They really do love it. Now, that's really what, and then the black and the boldness of it, and it just makes it stand out a little bit more, which is cool. So that's my microphone story for you.
Microphone leads to logo. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So what other kind of equipment are you running? So for the audio only people, Scott's in his studio right now. So I can see, it looks like two cameras, one that's focused on you, one that looks like it's focused on the guest. And then there's the camera that we're using, which is like the wide angle camera. Do you want to maybe run through that equipment too?
Yeah. So I'm actually waiting for my third one. I just bought a third GoPro. Love GoPros. Everyone thinks that GoPros are just action cameras, but they have a beautifully well-written software algorithm for their linear mode, which takes away that fishbowl effect.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use a GoPro, and we just like watch some YouTube videos, and I do watch a lot of YouTube videos. So I have four daughters and they watch YouTube all the time. I'm like, hey, put that one on over there. But you can get a small camera in a tight space and get really amazing quality out of it. So what I do, the cameras you're looking at, one camera is on me, one camera is on my guest, and then I have a third camera that's going to come up and it's going to do the full view. Okay. And so what you do is you get a triple bifurcated cord that has an XLR to a 3.5 millimeter. And then you get those XLR, those extensions, and you plug them into all the microphones or the input jacks for the cameras, excuse me. And then it goes right and coordinates with the microphone for the audio feed at the same time. So your video and your audio are all in sync. So when you go back to editing, you're not trying to timeline skip all your footage. So your content, whether it be audio or just your video section of it. So that's with the cameras. And they can get pricey with, not going to lie, I mean, when you start buying all the accessories and the lightings and everything up, the one that you see there with the white thing on top of it, that little light right there, that thing's, that will glow me up big time. And that thing is this big. It's the size of a cube. Yeah. It's amazing. That costs $80, but it's worth every penny of it. It's worth every penny of it. So what I have else? Another one coming for the other side, and then I don't need a third one, because if I wanted to do the lighting in the room, and I know for this right now, I didn't have to do too much.
Yeah.
But I would actually take down that light, and I'm going to redo my ceiling as well. And I'm going to put three LED, drawing a blank to the, what the hell, banister lights. So the whole room's illuminated. So it's just, there's zero shadows anywhere, because the one thing with LED lighting is that you don't really get a lot of that refraction type shadow. So that's the camera. So the camera there, I have one of those bendable joystick arms. I have the GoPro cameras, and then I have adapters for the 3.5 millimeter jack. I do run power. I leave the battery out. That's a key point, because those batteries they charge if something's plugged into it. So you leave the battery out and the cameras will run on their own, and they'll run cooler, and you'll have less errors with them, because they do overheat sometimes. So if you leave the battery out, which is the key point, and you have them plugged in, they'll run off of, AC power, not DC power. DC power is battery. And then whatever kind of audio you're going to use inside of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually familiar with the GoPro, because for the YouTube channel that was a part of for quite some time, we used a GoPro for our overhead camera, because we played board games. That's what we did.
Yeah.
But it was awesome because, like you said, it's so small, it's so compact. You don't need to worry about batteries. You just run the actual power cord. But yeah, learned a lot from there as far as like how to do the podcast on a shoestring budget, because we did the YouTube channel on a extreme shoestring budget, and we just added equipment as we started making money off of revenue. Right.
The camera that we're on right now, that's a 4K camera. That's a Logitech 4K camera.
The one that you're running right now?
The one I'm running right now, yeah.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. I use the Logitech 1080p HD. model number. It's like the most popular one right
it's
now.
It's like CP10 or something like that, right?
920, I think it is.
I had that one before. Yep.
It's sold out everywhere, basically.
Yep.
Currently, yep. Like during the COVID thing. Are you doing soundproofing? Do you like, I see black on the wall, but I'm not sure. Like, is that a certain kind of material to help soundproof the room?
Yeah. So what I did with it, this was, again, I watched another YouTube video because I'm like, I don't like paying other people a lot of money. I don't mind spending money, but I don't like when I can do it myself because I'm a hands-on type of a person and that's just how I do things. So what I did was I built frames and I got the canvas. Now the canvas is you can see it, but it's porous, so it allows sound to go through it. And that's really important. If you have canvas that doesn't allow sound to go through it, it's almost the same as sheetrock. So that's a really important piece. So make sure that when you go to your print design shops, you ask for a porous canvas that sound can penetrate through. And then what's behind there? Home insulation.
Hmm.
So see this guy right here? The wood and the home insulation and the time I built it, I don't know, maybe cost me like $4 or $5. That's it. The canvas for each one cost me 50.
Right.
For the branding. Again, it's all about the branding. And then the LED lights I put back there for these four cost $25. And they're all daisy chain because what you can't see there is there's a little bit of a cable here that I connected them.
I see it now since you pointed it out. Yeah.
that will be gone in, I don't know, a day or two. I'm actually going to poke two holes in there and then run it behind the wall so you can't see it just because I'm an OCD freak like that. But that's how this all works. And so I wanted to make sure that when someone sees it from your angle, they're like, dude, that's legit. That really looks that good because you only really have so many opportunities to impress people. That window that you see right there, we just finished painting that wall black and it is a soundproof black paint as well, or as much as it can be. Yeah. But we're going to get sound absorbing black curtains at the same time. And the reason why I did all black in the room is I want all the focus and attention on my guest. Not about me.
Not purple curtains? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But that's how we did the soundproofing. And then everything else that you see over here, I'm a huge Marvel fan. I tried Transformers there. Over here, I have a big Star Wars fan as well. But everything has sound paneling. Sound absorption materials behind it, everything. And then the ceiling, which you can't see, I have those little squares and I stuck those up and did that whole thing and got that all done as well. They're going to come down soon because I'm going to redo the ceiling and do different lighting setups, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, that's how we do the whole thing. So the whole room, if you do the clap test, if you just go, you know, there's next to no echo or reverb from that. And if I open up my door, it goes right down the hallway.
Huh. That's awesome. I mean, I'd love to have that. I've got a condo, so I don't really have that set up. But one day I will have my dedicated room.
You know, it takes time. And I'm fortunate enough to have just what I had for an office, which is not an office anymore. It's really a studio at this point. Because if you actually saw inside this closet that's over here, it's just cameras and adapters and everything that I would need. I mean, I put a lot of money into this and because I was looking for it. But here's what I'd like to encourage everyone with, and I'll give you all the names so you can put these links in your podcast notes for everybody, is if you want to do podcasting, okay, you don't need anything I just talked about. Pat Flynn and those guys were wrong. They were all wrong. The only thing that you really would need if you were to do it yourself. Now there's two roads there. You can outsource it or you can do it yourself. Okay. Yeah. Some people say, I'm going to outsource it because I don't have to buy a $2,000 computer. I get it but over time, if you're paying someone $50 to $75 or however they're charging on Fiverr or Upwork to do your editing, that's going to add up over time if you keep going through for the sound quality that you're asking for. Right.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So I bought a Ulanzi is amazing. Ulanzi has a lot of great great adapters. So I have an iPhone 11, okay? And I purposely waited for all these different things to come out. So iPhone, I bought an iPhone 11, not an 11 Pro, just an iPhone 11. The camera and the audio that goes into there is amazing, okay? Then I bought an Alonzi tripod adapter. It's a metal shell with a cold shoe holder, everything that you need, okay? And I actually may even take a pause so I can show you what it looks like, because I actually leave it in my truck. And the reason why I went for this type of solution was because if I'm in a hospital and I have to sit down with a physician or some kind of administrator and we're going to do a quick recording, I want this Johnny on the spot.
Yeah.
And I can actually turn this, get my phone in there and turn this thing on and be ready to record. Like, no kidding, Chris, in less than a minute. It's that fast. So I have this Ulanzi adapter. It's on a little tripod that's extendable. Okay. I have a Rode adapter that plugs into the Lightning port. I wish to, I mean, if anyone from Apple who works at Apple, tell Tim Cook to go with the USB-C, please. My God, Lightning, like what are we in the 1980s? So, so you get the Rode adapter with the Lightning port, you connect it in there. Okay. And then it's really important for iPhone users to have a TRS to a TRRS adapter. So that's two black rings around the 3.5 millimeter connector going to a 3-ring 3.5 millimeter adapter. Okay. Then hold on, Michael, I'm going to show you here real quick. This little guy, I'll put it in front of my sweatshirt. Look how small that thing is.
Yeah, it's tiny.
This is the Rode Wireless Go. It is, it's amazing. It is amazing. The sound that comes out of this thing is just, it's pristine. I've recorded myself in some of my own promo videos that I put out. And without the pop filter, the wind pop filter that they give you, and you can barely hear any sound that's not coming from myself.
That's called the Rode Wireless Go?
Wireless Go, yeah. They're pricey. They are pricey. They are about $100 a pop for one set. Mm-hmm. So you're going to put out some money for that. But here's my point of why I was saying Pat Flynn and those guys are wrong. Now, depending on when and how old those videos are, you have an iPhone 11, okay? And the tripod that I use is a little guy, okay? But it extends up to, I think, like 30 some odd inches. That costs $40. The Ulanzi adapter costs $18. Your phone's your phone, okay? But then the most, and then the adapter is $40 for like the Rode adapter. And then the two cables are $20 each. And then the most expensive thing is the microphone. It's always the microphone, okay? Yeah. So if we go back to the original question is what kind of microphone am I using? I spent mid-grade money on a microphone, but I spent all my money on a mixer board because that's what really controls the sound. The sound that comes in and out of these guys is just amazing. So the whole setup all in, external to your phone, I'd say you're probably into it like $350.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. And you can have a interview style podcast, or you can just record yourself. Yep. So if you do that based on what kind of format you're going to have, because everyone says it's four formats you're going to go for in podcasting. Mine is just interview, interview, interview. I don't ever just record myself because it's just not my style or how I want to do things. But when you put all that together in that little compact package, it's unbeatable. You can just outsource it. And again, how much you're going to pay for someone just to do the editing. And then if you use Anchor, now I know there's between Anchor, Libsyn, or Buzzsprout, you can literally get away with it just with the upfront cost of $350 and start podcasting and never pay another cent again. It's because if you don't edit, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It does not take much to get into podcasting. No. Like this microphone, this arm, the camera, a lot of this stuff I built over time, but the final purchases, which I made, which were this microphone and the arm, $120 total.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, most people have a web camera already. If you don't, same thing, like this one in particular, I think it's like $100. And that's it. I mean, again, most people have a computer. Anchor.fm, great for hosting. It's free. There's some people that aren't a big fan of it because of their terms and conditions, but
I call those guys. I physically call them.
Yeah.
And I said, because I was with Libsyn when I first started out.
Yeah.
And I switched over to Anchor.
Oh, you're on Anchor now?
Yeah. Because I didn't find that Libsyn was doing anything for the money I was spending with them.
Right.
And when I called Anchor and I'm like, dude, like, who owns my content, me or you? And they go, you do. I said, okay. Then in writing? Yeah. Okay. Show it to me. They sent it over. I sent it to my attorney and they're like, yeah, you own everything. Cool. And it's free. Okay, great. Where I think they start, I don't want to say getting anyone, I don't think that's really fair to say, because they are hosting it for free, right? But is the monetization model.
Yeah.
And how you monetize through them. And someone said, and this is kind of something that I was kind of chuckling at, was you have to have like a couple thousand downloads just to buy a glass of beer. I'm like, well, that's if you do it through them.
Yes, that's right.
If you do it through yourself, then you don't need to worry about that.
It sounds like it's no different than YouTube. YouTube is it varies depending the type of content you have, but you can earn anywhere from, I think a good average that I would say is about $5 to $6 for every 1,000 views you get. So, you know, like it's not, you're not making bank off a small audience.
Yeah.
Whereas if you know how to monetize a podcast properly, you could legitimately create a viable business with a relatively small audience, which is really cool.
Yep.
But I want to ask a question to kind of wrap things up, because we've definitely covered a lot of different aspects of the podcast. But what would be your number one advice for the audience to help them level up wherever they need it most? But really, in this particular case, if they're considering starting a podcast, what's that one thing you would suggest they focus on to get them started?
That's a little bit of a loaded question. It really comes back to Nike. Just do it. Just jump into it and go. Don't worry about what you sound like. Don't worry about I need this, I need that. I fell into that trap, not just with podcasting, but earlier in my life, where I like refinement. I like things to be a certain way. But if you have the vision in your head, and it really comes back down to your mentee or everything upstairs, of how your future self, what it looks like with you doing this, if you get a sound position for yourself and what that looks like, just go out there and do it. Don't be afraid. And don't worry so much about what you sound like or what am I going to say. The other thing I would say about that is do your homework. Like, seriously, like if you're going to sit down with someone and have a conversation with them, find out who they are. What's their interest? What makes them unique? What drives them? What makes them passionate? Because, you know, someone can be a lawyer and then they can seriously be picking up our trash like the next week. Something can happen. No one really knows, but it's the story in between when they're an attorney versus in that hardship they went that makes them really interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. So my question all the time to people, and I'm this past week, I probably average anywhere between 4 to 5 calls after hour for 360 on, hey, let's have a 15-minute conversation or a 20-minute conversation like you and I did. And we're just going back and forth. And I was like, well, tell me about yourself. What's funny? What's unique? You know, why would someone say, I have to talk to this person? Yeah. And I'm really about making people feel uncomfortable, because as soon as you do and they tell you that, then you know they're allowing themselves to be vulnerable and open and honest and true. And I'm like, how fast can we get you on? And they're like, seriously? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you're like an open book. Let's go. Like, we're going to have a lot of fun with this one. And we just go for it. So I would say those two things are the most important to me, is when you're because I know sometimes, and I've heard this, and I felt this. I didn't do this, but I felt this is like, oh, we need more guests. We need more guests. We need more guests. Just keep the podcast going. And that's the wrong way of doing it, man. Like, I'd rather skip a week than have a bad guest, because if someone's on your show and now someone's like, that sucked, that's a bad review, that's a bad brand, you know, no go. You know, you put way too much resources, including your time, to drive this thing, and it just get out there, do it, and do your homework on the people you want to bring on, and that's gold all day.
Yeah, that's solid advice. I really can't agree more with the just get started. That's basically what I did. I was like, I am not that I had no idea what I'm going to do, but it was just like, I can't not do this and like think and strategize and strategize. It's just have a bit of a plan and then go and figure it out as you go. And to be honest, the first podcast you do and you run through, maybe it's not the one that sticks, but that doesn't mean you can't put that aside and then start another one with all the lessons you learned from the previous one. It's like a business, right? You don't, just because you start a business doesn't mean you have to kind of, you're not stuck with it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You move on. So
I do actually follow one of Pat Flynn's recommendations. I do leave my earlier ones up there under the original edit so I can go back and listen to how foolish, you know, quote unquote, how foolish you sound in your first one. But I actually had a friend, a really close friend I graduated college with. He reached out to me the other day on LinkedIn. He has a PhD in physical therapy. Every time I think of him, I just smile. He's just such a good guy. And he goes, I'm only four away from being all caught up. He goes, man, you've really gotten good at this. And I was like, well, thanks. I really appreciate that, you know? And he's not blowing smoke. He's really being genuine and authentic. And I was like, you know, that I really do appreciate that feedback. That's really, really cool. The other thing I would stress a lot is this. This is just my personal, is I can turn it on and off, because if I'm outside and someone hits you with a question, most people go, the oohs, ahs, there is power in the pause. Slow down. Think about the question. You're still going to have them here and there. Okay. And that's okay, because that's normal English American based language. Okay. That's not a big thing. But if someone's, it's really annoying on the other side when you're trying to listen to that, because those are filler, quote unquote, confusing based words.
Yeah.
And they don't allow, the brain is trying to learn, and the waveform in the brain is much different when you listen to oohs and ahs versus genuine and flowing information. So learn how to control your pause.
That is definitely one I'm continuously working on.
Yeah, me too. I mean, no lie, me too. But I actively think it was, especially when I'm on something like this or my own podcast, I go, I just hold it all inside and I give it a pause instead. And I'm telling you, on the other end of it, I'm like, wow, there is such power in that pause. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know we could talk for much, much longer, but I gotta put a bow on this one. So again, can you share where people can find you, Scott, in case they didn't catch it at the beginning there?
Sure. So look for healthcare360podcast.com. That site's been up. We are updating in a week or two, roughly, to start moving towards WordPress. And my personal brand, which eventually will take over healthcare360podcast.com, is going to be scottEBurgess.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for being a guest. It was a lot of fun. I definitely took a couple lessons out of there to incorporate with my podcast. So,
One last note, and this is something I got from Mike with Solopreneur. Really believe in this, is 85% of the people who listen to your podcast are not going to finish it, more than likely, the first go around. Okay. Now, I know for me personally, that's definitely true, because my podcasts go anywhere between an hour to an hour and 45 minutes each one. I mean, we deep dive in some information. We talk about those people a lot. I have some shorter guys that are in there, like 35, 40 minutes, but those one I'm not so worried about, but for the longer ones, but you definitely want to make sure that you introduce a little bit. Because I usually will start introducing people like 5 minutes into it. I'm like, oh, hey, by the way, this is Healthcare 360, and we're episode boom, this is who we were sitting down with, after you open up to a conversation. But make it known where you can find them in the beginning. Because if you wait just to the end, and most people don't get there, that's where you wouldn't be able to compliment their time. As well, of course, the podcast notes, but not everyone reads the podcast notes all the time.
Yeah.
My wife does an amazing job with the editing, which is why I'm scaling, because I can do more because I've given that responsibility to her. We call her the magic maker. So what she puts together on her Word document, almost everything that comes out of my mouth and my guest's mouth or my guest's mouth at large is on that piece of paper. And she writes up the whole podcast note. So every product that we talk about, as far as what we use, just like this, it's listed there and the link. So all people have to do is just go to the notes and then click on it. That's a really cool piece. I'm very fortunate to have someone who's that detailed on my side.
That's awesome. And on that note, everything we've talked about will be in the show notes because I do the same thing.
That's nice.
To me, that is a quality podcast thing to do.
Yep.
But yeah, it was awesome. Thanks, Scott. It's been a pleasure, and I know we'll definitely chat again soon.
For sure, Chris. And if anything I can help you with, or if anyone reaches back out about what about, let me know. More than happy to help.
Will do. Take care.
See you guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Get Coach 360. If you're looking for more information, you can head over to our website, which is getcoach360.com. You'll find the show notes for this and every other episode there. And if getting actionable advice every week from professional coaches is something you want more of, then make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.